The church is going through some hard times lately. For years now, we have watched the Catholic Church try to deal with a deluge of depravity that has touched so many. And I have watched other churches go through issues like this. I know of a church on an island that came to my attention very recently that had sexual abuse within its walls that was handled very improperly and kept very hush-hush. And recently it's become very obvious that there has been a problem with sexual abuse in the Southern Baptist Convention. In some ways, we can be glad that it does not seem to have touched the Northeast. But where our brothers and sisters fall, so we fall. And all this week, for a couple of months, I've been struggling with how do you respond to this, but I changed the message on Thursday, and I just said we have to address what's happened. And we have to respond to what happened. And we have to do it in a way that remembers what God's call for our lives is. And God's call for our lives is for us believers to be the salt of the earth, the light on the hill, that people will see Jesus through us. Does anybody have any doubts about what we're called to be? Look, I don't know if you guys know a man by the name of Al Mohler, but he is a very prominent Southern Baptist, a very brilliant man, and he explains things well, generally. I'd like to read what he has said about this as we open up. Mohler said, "Sexual misconduct is his oldest sin, but the avalanche of sexual misconduct that has come to light in recent weeks is almost too much to bear. And these grievous revelations of sin have occurred in churches, in denominational ministries, and even in our seminaries." Now he says, "We thought this was a Roman Catholic problem. The unbiblical requirement of priestly celibacy and the organized conspiracy of silence within the hierarchy helped to explain this cesspool of child sex abuse that robbed the Roman Catholic Church of their moral authority. When people said evangelicals had a similar crisis coming, it didn't seem plausible." Al Mohler said, "Not even to him. He's been the president of the Southern Baptist Seminary for 25 years, and he did not see this coming. He says, 'I was wrong. The judgment of God has come, and judgment has now come to the house of the Southern Baptist Convention. The swift, terrible swift sword of public humiliation has come with a vengeance, and there can be no doubt that this story is not over. We cannot blame a requirement of priestly celibacy. We can't even point to an organized conspiracy within the denominational hierarchy. No, our humiliation comes as a result of an unorganized conspiracy of silence. And sadly, the unorganized nature of our problem may make recovery and correction even more difficult, and the silence even more dangerous." We are Jesus for the world around us. Jesus has made it very clear how we're supposed to live. Amen. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Jesus came to save us and has sent us out to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're supposed to be Jesus Christ to the world so that they also have a chance to know the path to salvation, the opportunity to get peace with God and the peace that God gives. Jesus said in John 13:34, "I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." Please don't be distracted by this microphone. I think that this is just another sign of somebody not wanting a message to get out. Let's try it over here, huh? It was working in the test. Jesus commanded believers to love each other the way Jesus loves them. We're to love our church family, each other, as the way Jesus loves us. And the call to love isn't just directed at fellow believers, amen? We're also called to love our neighbors ourselves. And Jesus' definition of our neighbor, everybody we see, everybody around us. God has always called on his people to protect the innocent and the helpless. Remember in Exodus 22:22-23, "You must not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, they will no doubt cry to me, and I will hear their cry." And it continued in the New Testament, James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." We're supposed to do this because it's right. Amen? It's the only good thing to do. We should want to do this. And there's an even more important reason, my friends. And that reason is, Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
The strength of the light we shine is how much we feel love from Jesus. And the strength of the love that we reflect to the world, the light that we reflect to the world, is proportional to our understanding of how much we're loved. Now, that guidepost report, you can read it if you want to. It rips my heart out. And it shows that the Southern Baptist as a convention did not meet the standards that God has laid out for us. And make no mistake on this. The fact that one person or one church, one believer failed, it reflects poorly on all of us. I've always felt the pain of the Catholic Church and what they were dealing with. These failures gave an excuse to people to continue ignoring Jesus. We sin by not meeting those standards. And we compounded that failure by trying to keep things quiet instead of taking care of the innocents that had been hurt. The reality is that sin is a struggle. Amen? The writing was on the wall. Apparently, for 2 decades, survivors of abuse and other concerned Southern Baptists have been contacting the Southern Baptist Convention to report these child molesters and other abusers who were in the pulpit or employed as staff. And they made phone calls and they sent letters and they started showing up in person. And every time they did, they met with resistance. Now, the guidepost, the summary says that this resistance wasn't organized from the top down like the Catholic Church. This resistance was a desire to protect the good name of the Southern Baptist Convention. And there were just a few people who knew all of this that was happening. Just a few. They were the staff members, lawyers, who just advised the elected board members that they had to keep silent on this to protect the liability. Al Mohler said that he was surprised by what happened. I don't know how anybody could be surprised that some pastors failed, that some churches failed. Romans 3:23 says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Amen. Sin is an ongoing issue for believers and non-believers. Jesus has warned that there would be wolves in sheep's clothing, right? Doing Satan's work among the body. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but are inwardly are raging wolves. And he said that in our churches we would find both true believers and unbelievers, the wheat and the tares. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while people were sleeping, his enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat, and left. And when the plants sprouted and produced grain, then the weeds also appeared. There is going to be no perfect church on earth until the new earth. Until Jerusalem comes down from the heaven, perfect. And matter of fact, I'm not willing to condemn everybody that suffered. Yes, I am. I'm willing to condemn them. But I understand that even the best of us struggle with the desires of our flesh. And we're in an ongoing battle between doing what is good and right and giving in to our desires. Now that does not excuse what was done, and it should not reduce the penalty that these people face by the law. Leaders who prey on their flock should never lead again. Yet Christians, including pastors, deacons, and other leaders, they struggle with sin. We struggle with sin just as much as you do. And in fact, there is a lot of data that shows that in evangelical circles, there is a huge problem that has been boiling up over the years, and that is porn. A Barna research study found that 57% of pastors and 64% of youth pastors admit that they struggled with porn, either currently or in the past. But less than 1% recommend telling their congregation. I get that, right? I tell you that I'm a porn addict. What's your response going to be? You're supposed to lead me, right? You guys were smart. You called an ugly pastor. You're not going to have any sexual abuse from me. But porn is a $12 billion industry. Did you know that 50% of men viewed pornography within 1 week before attending a Promise Keepers campaign? 54% of pastors said they viewed porn in a Focus on the Family poll within the past year. Another study said that 17% of women admitted to struggling with this. Now, what's the deal? How do we respond to all this? And are these connected or not? We know how God wants us to live. Amen? There is no shortage of passages that tell us what we should be. The question is, do we desire to please God? Is that our foremost desire? Is that our heart's desire? When we wake up in the morning, is that the first thing that we think about? Is that what we think about the majority of the day? Lord, let me hear those words, good and faithful servant, when I meet Jesus. Now we know the Christians fail this standard every day. That being Christian doesn't automatically end our fight with sin. But we have to make every effort to meet that standard because the stakes are so high. Eternal outcomes are at risk. One of my most fervent prayers, especially as a pastor, is that I do nothing to hinder anybody from coming to Jesus. I want every man, woman, and child to know Jesus and to experience a freedom that brings. And I'm afraid that our denomination, that what has happened is going to leave a big black mark on the face of Jesus. Not because Jesus deserves it, but because of the way people will use it as an excuse to just discount everything else that is going on. I'm ashamed and I'm discouraged. I pray that you're ashamed and discouraged as well. But do you remember that promise that God gave us, that as believers, that everything that happens to us, good, bad, or indifferent, is going to be used for our good and God's glory? This, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is an opportunity for Middletown Baptist Church to rise above the headlines and to choose to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I think that's really the application that I'm looking for today. I don't want us to feel discouraged or overwhelmed by the failure. I want us to see the opportunity that we have to show the world that the headlines don't have the whole truth. And I think that as a church and as believers, there are two things that we need to do right now, today. And the first is that we need to protect the innocent and the helpless in our churches. And we've got policies in place that do this. But we need to double down on those policies. We need to make sure that our background checks are run over again, that we don't hold on to them forever. We need to make sure, and these sound so simple, but they're so important, that adults aren't with children alone. We need to make sure that our deacons continue to do what they do, which is to patrol the church during service, just to keep an eye on everything and make sure everything is okay. We also need to train teachers and leaders to recognize the signs of potential abuse. And we need to react to what we see. And over the course of the year, we're going to be rolling out materials for these. And I hope everybody attacks them with the same diligence that I plan on doing, because the stakes are that high. And most importantly, we as a church, the leaders of the church, need to commit to the following. If there is an instance of abuse in this church, it will not be covered up. If a deacon or myself get a phone call from a parent or a person saying that something happened, our first concern is not protecting the good name of the church. Our first concern is the victim. That doesn't mean we're going to act without witnesses, but the primary intent, the primary truth is that we are to protect the helpless. There were only 2-3 guys that really knew what was going on here in the Southern Baptist Convention. They had a list that they didn't share with anybody. Nobody knew what was going on. And that was because people cared about the liability. They wanted to protect the good name. You cannot do good by doing bad. And hiding stuff like this when it happens, it enrages me that it happened. It cannot ever happen. I don't believe it has ever happened here. And we will not tolerate it. And there's another piece to this, though. And I worry about all of us during these past couple of years, that we have been separated from our norms. We've had COVID lock us up. We've had the removal of friends and family and institutions. We've had this unrestricted access or this overload of the computer and everything that it bears, good and bad and indifferent. And most of us, I believe, are facing all of this alone. And some of that is because of the high stress that we put in this church on the standards of holiness. And putting that stress on holiness is important. It's a heart attitude. Are we seeking to meet those standards? Remember, God does not command anything that we can't do. Doesn't command anything that is beyond us. And God says that there is no temptation beyond our ability to resist. But how many people do we know who follow Christ that sit on Sunday mornings and maybe feel guilty about what they did Monday through Saturday, maybe what they did before they came to church on Sunday? How many people are struggling with a problem, like the problem in those polls? My question is this. Do you have somebody you're comfortable sharing your temptation with? And if you don't have anybody that you trust, please trust me. If you try to deal with sin on your own without help, that temptation on your own, you're setting yourself up for failure. God did not create us to live in isolation. God did not design Christianity to be pursued by a lone wolf. James 5:16 reads, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed." Do you see what I'm getting at? What I'm saying is that we need to come together as a family. And one of the things that I am trying so hard as a pastor of this church to do is to cultivate a family relationship. That's why we're doing the Thursday night fun friends around a fire. We just want to spend time with each other. We want to build relationships of trust and accountability where people know that if they come up against something, that they are able to come to us for help without judgment. Don't fight this stuff alone. I didn't want to do this message. I don't have all the answers for how we need to respond. They're gonna come up. But I want everybody to be aware that our response to what's going to come out in the news is important. Because if we react in complete shame without response, we're failing to shine the light that Jesus has called us to shine. So don't try to mitigate anything about this, or anybody that any church that has had this issue in the past. But don't shrink from it either. The fact that sin exists is real. The fact that Christians can fall is real. But keep pointing to the positive. Keep pointing to the truth that really matters. And let's just make every effort to ensure that this does not happen in Middletown Baptist Church. Not because we're super Christians, but just because we love Jesus and we want to protect the kids. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you work a miracle in our lives and the lives of the church universal in the West. Lord, let your truth shine bright. Encourage us to be the people that you've called us to be. Let us know that we can be those people, all in Jesus, all with the help of the Spirit. And Lord, let us recognize the opportunity that we have right now that you have opened up for us to respond by showing what Jesus wants, who Jesus is. And may people fall to their knees in front of Jesus. And may God the Father be glorified in everything that we do say and say. Lord, we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.